And we come today to verse 4. I know this is a very familiar psalm, and so I probably won't be telling you much that you don't already know. But the good thing about God is that he can encourage and refresh us even when he's telling us things that we already know, right? So we're going to think about verse 4 together. I'm not going to try to drill down into it so deep that looks like we're straining at a gnat. But I do want us to think about it for a few minutes to see if we can really find some help from this one little verse. If you're able to physically stand, I'd ask you to do that one more time. Let's just honor God as I read this verse in our hearing, and we ask his help. The verse reads this way. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we do bow together now, and we humbly ask you to meet us in the scriptures. Lord, you know this old feeble lump of clay. Unless you help me, I won't be able to be of any use to your people. I certainly won't be able to glorify you. So would you meet me now in the spirit, and by your power, enable me to represent you here today among your people. And Holy Spirit, would you take your word and bring it alive in our hearts, and show us your will and your way. And then, Holy Spirit, we ask you to grant us the grace to order our lives according to your will. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Our simple subject for today is I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. You might remember that we just started this psalm last week, and we saw that it's a personal psalm, right? David uses my and I and me throughout this psalm so that you and I can relate to that. And it's you can see, hopefully, it, as he gives his testimony, the value of his testimony, you can see that you likewise, when you share your testimony with others, you need to make sure that it's impassioned, that it's real, that it's truthful, right? And trust then, once you are real and honest and truthful, that God can take your personal experiences with him and use it to help someone else, yes? So it's a personal psalm. The psalm addresses a real and a right relationship between the spiritual shepherd and the sheep. It gives encouragement and hope to every true sheep, or if you will, every true Christian should find encouragement. That's the reason that we've had this psalm. I don't know about you, but since I was young, most of people have been exposed to Psalm 23, and that's because it does bring so much encouragement and hope, and even the youngest can understand. We can relate to this analogy of a shepherd, right, and a sheep. Now, last week we saw, though, as we kind of unpacked verses 1 and 2, in verse 1, that the Christian finds encouragement in knowing who God is, right? The Lord is what? A who? My shepherd. We find encouragement in just... It's not new, but I just need to reflect on that and meditate on that. It's like Psalm 1 says, in your law, in your word, I meditate, what, day and night. There are some things you just need to dwell on. You just need to get there and camp. Just let it ruminate in you today, tomorrow, all week. Just let that truth of the Lord being my shepherd have its work in you, yes? So we find encouragement in knowing who God is. And then we saw in the other two verses that there's encouragement in knowing what he does, right? David said, I shall not want, but I shall not want because he leads and he guides and he provides, right? He protects. So today we're going to, as we move away from the still waters, King James might say quiet waters, I can't remember now, but the whole idea is that the Lord leads me beside quiet waters or still waters, right? And so we saw in that first section that God leads me to the place of peace. And I'm thankful for. Aren't you thankful for those times when you can have stuff going on, but you can find that place of peace? And it's different for all of us, you know. You might have a room or you got, you know, some of us just like to get alone in our car and listen to music. But wherever it is, God can lead you right to that place of peace. And in these green pastures, you know, he provides for you. Rather than me saying my glass is half empty, I know my glass is half full because everything I've got, what, has come from him. Anything good in my life came from God. And so we saw last week that God leads us to those places where we can have peace and where he provides for us. But today, he's showing us that that's not your, our life isn't to be just at that place of peace all the time. We're going to have to face some trials and some tests and some difficulties, right? And so the Lord is still my shepherd. And just as he led me to the place where I could find peace and where I have provision, he's going to lead me as I face difficulties in life, okay? So that's really all that we're going to talk about for a few minutes today. And I want to summarize our discussion with these two thoughts. We're going to look at what I call the Christian's journey and then the Christian's comfort. We are led by our shepherd Lord. He is our shepherd and he leads us, which means that our life is a journey. Yes? We are on a journey and it's not all peace. It's not all mountaintops. And we're going to see today that there are some valleys. And the shepherd is still leading. Just as he led me to the mountain, he leads me even as I have to go down to the valley. Right? And so I've got this journey that I have to take. But I've also got the comfort that comes with the shepherd leading me. Right? Even though I can look in my rearview mirror and see I just left that place of peace. And I see something very threatening in front of me, but I can still find comfort, right? So that's all we want to kind of talk about today as we package this thing together. So as we look at the whole idea of the Christian journey, the first thing that I would say to you, and this is nothing new, but you as a Christian know that trials are certain. The certainty of trials is just a given. Regardless of your favorite teacher that you might want to listen to, and they give you the, you know, the positive perspectives. You, all of our life isn't just the mountaintops. Trials, the Bible is very clear that trials are to be expected in our lives, right? And so the certainty of trials is given. James 1:2 assures us of that, right? Count it all joy, my brothers, not if you encounter various trials, right? But what's the word? What's the operative word? When, right? Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Knowing, because there's something that you need to know. But the fact here is that we know with certainty that our life's journey as a Christian will involve, now when it says various kinds, all kinds. And you don't need to compare yours to mine. And I don't need to compare mine to yours. I just know that there's, it's if you will, it's as if God has prepared this, Hebrews calls it, we're in a race. And so we all got this, we're all in this athletic race, if you will. I got my lane, right? You got yours. And all he says to any of us is to what? Stay in your lane. Right? Because this race was customized for who? For you. Isn't that good? And so with all of the bumps and the difficulties, we've got to just see that there's value in these trials. And so we're definitely going to have trials. And it was Peter that says to us, don't be surprised. You remember that verse in 1 Peter 4, let's just turn there. 1 Peter 4, and what is it? Verse 12. You've probably heard this verse before. Listen at it again. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to what? Test you. That's it. The trial is coming to test you. Not to prove anything to God, but to prove to you that you are real. You are the real deal. This is real faith in you, right? As though something strange. You see, do not be surprised when the fiery trials come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. My brother, my sister, don't let this modern theology throw you off balance. Trials, God prepares us for trials. From the youngest to the oldest Christian, to the most mature Christian, we will experience trials of various kind. And don't be surprised that it happened to you because you study your Bible, because you pray, because you're faithful. Don't be surprised. Jesus Christ was the perfect God-man, and look at his, the suffering that he endured, right? James said, we want to finish our, we want to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, right? He kept the faith. He pressed on. He pressed on. And so I just want to, I know that I'm not rattling on. I just want us to be together on the fact that trials are not something weird. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something bad. You see, David didn't say that I'm being punished here. He just said, this is a part of the life with the shepherd. My shepherd leads me, and it's not always just green pastures and still waters. There's some difficulty. You get it? You get what I'm saying? So he says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so there's these trials would be there. The Christian journey most assuredly will include some valleys of the shadow of death. Okay? That's the point. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you see, I'm still being led by the shepherd, and he's led me. I've been in, beside the still waters, I've been in the green pastures, but now I got to deal with the valley of the shadow of death. You see the point? All of us are going to have some dark issues in our life. Some things that you know are not pleasant, that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself. But you know, just as the shepherd led you to the joyous times, you got to trust him to lead you when it's hurtful. Yeah? When it's dark. So you get the idea. And lastly, as I leave that point, is that I think that the emphasis that David is bringing here is that some of our trials will be dangerous, and some of them will even be life-threatening. And I just look around this room right here, and I know, you know, we've been together a long time, and I know some of the valleys that some of you have had to face. But here we are, right? Right? He brought us what? Through. Amen. The valley. Isn't that good? He didn't just bring us to the valley to leave us in the valley. He brought us through. That's the only reason we're here. But when we go through the valley, the point is, I want to give the credit to my shepherd, you see?
Yes.
He's not just my shepherd when it's good, or when I perceive that it's good. He's not just my shepherd on the mountain or by the still waters, or he's my shepherd when I'm in the green pastures. He's my shepherd when I got to go through some of the darkest things of my life that I never thought I'd have to experience. Some of us have already gone through some valleys, but I assure you, that's not the last valley if you're going to continue to live, because the shepherd continues to what? Lead. Okay? We're together? So, the certainty of trials, and then the last point on this, the idea of the Christian journey, is that there's not only certainty of trials, but then there's confidence that we can have, right? Confidence in trials. And I see that first and foremost, with the whole idea of having a right relationship with the shepherd. Looking around this room, I just would say to every one of us, just find real confidence when you say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a personal issue between you and the Lord. But make sure it's true. Not just the verse in the Bible. The Lord really is my shepherd. A right relationship with the Lord gives you confidence. Now, I will say this. There are times that I know God is punishing me. You understand? If you like a better word, I shouldn't say punish. I know there are times that God is bringing discipline into my life. Yes? But the Bible says, don't perceive discipline to be bad. Discipline is an act of love. Right? That's not the issue. The issue here is that when I've got a right relationship with the shepherd, I can have confidence even when I'm going into this dark. And David doesn't imply that the valley of the shadow of death is because he's being disciplined. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying even if you are being disciplined, you can have confidence in the Lord if he's your shepherd. He's not just going to discipline you and leave you. He's going to discipline you so that you can grow. Yes? So the right relationship gives you confidence when you have to face some ugly, ugly aspects of life. And then the other big thing that I see here, you back in verse 4, after he says, "I will fear no evil," he says, "For you are with me." So it's the presence of the Lord that also gives confidence. You see? It's because he's here with me. And oh, isn't this just so tremendous? There is nowhere that you go that God is not. Once you become a Christian and you realize all of those dark places that you went when you were an unbeliever. I don't know about yours, but I went to some awful places. But even then, the Lord was there. God kept me alive. Isn't this, you ever thought about that? Amen. I thought I was so slick, and I thought that I knew how to maneuver in the world. But when you finally been delivered, you realize that that was the Lord. I got friends, and I don't know about you, I got friends that didn't make it through. The same stuff I was doing. Yeah? And so it's the presence of the Lord. Now, I didn't know that then. But now I know that the Lord is with me. Now, there are times that I don't enjoy his fellowship because I'm angry or I'm anxious or whatever. And even though here David says, "I fear no evil," because I'm fearful of something. Yes? Those things then affect my fellowship. The Lord is still there. I'm just not enjoying his what? His presence. You see the difference? And so God wants us on our journey to handle our trials and to have confidence as we deal with them. No. I'll still be growing until the Lord takes me home. That's not the issue. Is that I don't plan to arrive. I just want to continue to grow. When I hit my valleys, when I hit my dark places in life, I want to have the same confidence. I want to have learned. You see, all of us should have learned from the last trial, from the last valley, so that even though this one doesn't look like the last valley, it's still the same Lord. He was with me in that one. I didn't know how I was going to get out of that one. So I'm going to trust him, right, with the one that I'm dealing with now. Okay? So you get the picture. I said I wasn't going to drill down on it and harp on it too much. I just want us to agree that the Christian's journey involves trials, but the Christian's journey also involves confidence in our trials. The last big thought is this. The Christian also has comfort. We have a journey that's going to lead us into some dark, ugly places of life. But God wants us to have comfort as we face those honestly. Now again, it's the Lord's presence that is to really bring the greatest comfort. Some of you will know these verses. What I thought about was there's no companion like the Lord. You remember, I want to read this one. Let's turn to Hebrews 13 together. This is so tremendous. I know you know it, but let's just turn to Hebrews 13 and look at this afresh and anew. This pastor is encouraging these hurting Christians to continue to have brotherly love for each other. And then when he gets down to verse 5, Hebrews 13, 5, he says this: keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. Look at this. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But then look at verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see that point? So he's saying, yeah, you're hurting. You know, these Hebrew Christians, they were hurting. They were being persecuted because they were Christians. But he's saying that the Lord says to you, don't let your lack of money, don't fall in love with money. Don't get depressed because you don't have money. Don't put your confidence in money. Just know that the Lord says to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even though you consider yourself financially bankrupt. I don't know how I'm going to deal with all of this financial pressure. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake. I won't desert you in your financial bliss. Well, it's not just finances. I mean, it can be we can face all kinds of crises, medical issues on the job. God is saying, I'm your companion. I'll be with you. Family members may walk out on you. Church members may not support you, but I will be with you. Yes. It's this presence that does that for me. And you know the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Remember after Jesus is told to go and make disciples of all nations? You know how he ends that? For I am with you, what? Always. Isn't that right? Always. This is good. This is good, good, good. The Lord is the best companion. And even, you know what I thought? I started to throw this verse in there, but after I looked at it, I said, I won't even mention it. But do you know there's that verse that talks about there's a friend, you know, that sticks closer than a brother? But I kind of checked that one out, and I think we misused that. That's just a contrast there, because what we're talking about here can't be compared to people. This kind of companionship, he says, I will never leave you nor desert you. Get that. Oh, my Christian brother, sister, just get that. God is with me when it doesn't feel like he's with me. This time, I mean, we go through something. What reason it's called dark is because nothing about this feels good. I don't even see how this is going to be good. I don't see anything good. You ever had that? That can come from this. And sometimes it's self-inflicted. I did this. You ever had that? This mess I created. Yes. And yet the Lord says, I won't leave you there, will I? I'm not going to desert you. Others may run. Ooh! Others may be gone. But the Lord is still there. Yeah. This is it, Christian. This is it. David said, my own family left me. Mother, my father. And you know his children, you know Absalom and different ones, they turned on him. But the Lord is my shepherd. And I have confidence that he's with me. And I'm going to tell you, think of how, you know, we're not told how long it was after he committed that sin with Bathsheba. But you can imagine after all of that period of time when he finally brought on the conviction to realize that God never left him. All that plotting and scheming that he was doing. You getting this? David was still a man after God's own heart. He's not like us. He's not fickle. I don't even know how to best say this, but how do you put value on that? Somebody that says, I will never leave you. You get it? Never. Never. Once you become a Christian, you are never, that's a song, isn't it? Never alone? That's a song. You are never alone once you become a Christian. The Lord is always there. Isn't that good? There is no companion like the Lord. So the presence of the Lord brings great comfort in any trial. The presence of the Lord brings great encouragement. You see how he said it there? After he says, I will fear no evil, he says, for or because you are with me. Get it? So that's the idea, is that there's to be comfort from the Lord's presence. And then finally, there's to be comfort in the Lord's power. The Lord's presence brings comfort, and the Lord's power brings comfort. You say, well, Brother Willie, where you get that? Well, that's what I see at the end there. You see, your rod and your staff, they what? Comfort me. Your presence comforts me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. Well, where do you come up with power? That's the whole idea with the shepherd. The shepherd can use the rod to fight off the enemies. He uses staff to bring you in line. He's got the power to do what's necessary to keep you safe. Sometimes the shepherd has to keep you safe from you. Right? He has to use that staff. Because what do the sheep do? They wander off. So he has to use the staff to bring you back. Isn't that good? Power. You're never outside of his reach. You never wander too far where he can't find you. And you know the picture that Jesus gives there in the Gospels where the shepherd would leave the what? 99 and do what? Go and find the one that's going astray. Aren't you thankful for that? And this is probably not the best way to say it, but I mean, you think about the times that you kind of slid wherever it was you went. We all have those times when we just kind of, we don't fall off the grid, but, you know, it's not there. What do you call it, discouragement or whatever? You know, Paul talks about that, being knocked down. And I mean, we're not just totally wiped out, but you're just at that place where you're not functioning. And then the Lord meets you. This is it. This is his power. And so the thing I thought about here with the Lord's power is that the Lord is greater than all of creation. Sometimes I just sit and I'm in amazement that in eternity past, there was no one and nothing but God. And at some point in eternity past, God said, and everything we know came from him. Can you get this? He was alone in eternity past. From everlasting to what? Everlasting, you alone are God. And so at some point in eternity past, God said, and it was. The Bible calls it in the beginning, right? God what? Created. But look at this. Since he created everything, everything is under his control. That's the reason God can say, no one can tell me what to do. Think of it. Who can tell God what to do when he started everything? Anything that deals with God is created. That's the reason he had to put the devil in his place. What is the devil going to do when God made the devil? Well, he made angels, and, you know, this wickedness was in his heart. You getting this? All of creation. Nothing, no one is greater than God. He is the omnipotent one. No one greater. No one greater
So it doesn't matter what kind of darkness I'm in. He can handle it. I can't. You can't. My insurance can't get me out of this, whatever. But God can, and he proves it to us over and over, and he brings us through the valley to prove to us, I did it. When no one else could help, God did it. Why? Because he owns everything. He's God over your financial problems, God over your sickness, God over your family, God over your job. God is God over everything. His power, no one is outside of his power. You get it? He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. It doesn't matter how slick people are. They think they got you in the corner. You can't get out. God makes foolishness out of the wise people in the world. Turns them on themselves. Look at all, you just follow the scriptures. Haman and different ones who thought they had for sure had God and his people cornered. And God flipped it on their heads. Because he's wiser than the wisest. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And then he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. There is nowhere that God is not. So yeah, you feel like I'm in this dark place. How did David say, where shall I go from your spirit? Remember that? Where shall I flee? And he just concluded that this knowledge is too great for me. It's so astounding to think that wherever I go, God is there. Get it? As dark and as ugly as this messy thing I'm in, he's right there with me. And he has the power to bring me out. Yet it, the Lord is greater than all creation. And that should certainly give us confidence. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with God. He is able to defend us against any threat. He's able to defeat any threat or any danger. Any natural danger, God is able to handle it. Any supernatural danger, God is able to handle it. Any medical crisis, God is able to handle it. Any financial crisis, any crisis in the family, God can handle it. Any crisis on the job, in the community, in the church, wherever you go, he's leading and he's saying, I can handle this, Willie. Nothing is outside of my purview. Nothing is outside of my power. I got the power to handle it. I got the wisdom to handle it. And I'm everywhere at the same time. Such knowledge is too high. Right. And that's the reason he says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Stop trying to figure it out. I know this sounds awfully simplistic. But God is calling us to this place where we rest. We've already seen the place of peace, but he's saying it's not going to always be peaceful. You're going to have some real ugly issues in life. And you need to have this comfort as you go through it. That the same shepherd that led you to it, as the old saying, if he leads you to it, what? He'll bring you through it, right? Well, you've been very patient. That's the reason I said that I see all of that with this whole issue of your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Well, in conclusion, I simply say that true sheep, or true Christians, know that the Lord is God. If you are a true Christian, and that's the reason I qualified, because the Bible does talk about wolves in what? In sheep clothing. Or branches that get broken off, or if you will. So just make sure you're not among the phony and the false. True sheep or true Christians know that the Lord is God. True sheep or true Christians know the Lord as a personal shepherd. So when you say the Lord is my shepherd, you know that Jesus Christ has already said, I am the good shepherd, right? Jesus Christ has already said, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. They follow me. They know my voice, and they what? They follow me. And so as a Christian, you know who the good shepherd, the true shepherd is. The sheep, true sheep, can honestly say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will not fear any experience in life. Why? Because I have a right relationship with the Lord. I have a right relationship with my shepherd. I shall not fear because he is my constant companion. He is with me. I shall not fear because the Lord is in control of my life and all the circumstances in my life. When I face a medical crisis, I will not fear. When I face dangerous people, we talked in Sunday school about evangelism, where we're going to have to deal with places and people that are not saved. But when I face dangerous people, I will not fear. When I'm threatened by the government, and trust me, I believe that Christians are going to move to a place in America where we are not going to find the pleasure of the government. But when I'm threatened by the government with taking away my tax exemption or this thing or that thing, I will not fear. When I'm threatened to go to prison if I don't conform, as Peter and the apostles had to say, all of those issues are up to you. As for me, I will obey the Lord, right? Whatever the counsel, if the Lord leads me into prison, I trust him. You see it with Joseph and so many others in the scriptures. If righteousness leads you to that place, you've got to trust God that he'll be with you, right? So when I'm threatened, even by the government, I will not fear. When I'm threatened by Satan and his demons, I will not fear. When I'm threatened by people on my job, I will not fear. When I'm threatened by people at school, I will not fear. Threatened by people in my neighborhood. Well, we were talking yesterday about some of the break-ins and some of the things going on back here behind the church and behind people's homes. In some of our neighborhoods, we know there's things going on in the dark that threaten us, but we will not live in fear, right? I won't be fearful because of the situations around me in my home, in my church. I won't be fearful when I know God, what God wants me to do. I won't be fearful by family members. Family members may threaten me, but I will not fear. Strangers may threaten me, but I will not fear. Why? Because the Lord's presence and the Lord's power overcomes any fear in the Christian's heart. And if you're not a Christian, I want to tell you that the only way to overcome your fear of God, the only way to overcome your fear of judgment, the only way of overcoming your fear of hell and condemnation is that you've got to come to Christ. Jesus has said he's the only way. And everyone in here may be a Christian, but I would be less than a genuine servant if I didn't ask you to make sure. On a day like today, make sure that there's no doubt, because this is real. This is real life. This is not a fairy tale. You need to know for sure that the Lord is your shepherd. He's here right now to make himself available. I hope that you find real comfort as you move forward in every difficulty of life, knowing that the Lord is with you. Lord, I want to thank you for your care for us. Thank you for this special time that we had together today. Thank you for the ones that you hand-selected to be here in your presence today. Father, I want to thank you for honoring us with your presence. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for honoring us with your power. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing to us that you are the Good Shepherd. Thank you for giving yourself for us. You lay down your life for the sheep. And Lord, today we just say we love you because you first loved us. Now, Lord, we want to learn to live out that love, whether on the mountain or in the valley. Yes, to live out that love with great confidence in you, that you will continue to lead and you will continue to guide until you bring us home safely. I bless you, I praise you, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.